Welcome in to another edition of the Pick Aside Podcast, NFL Week 14. Things are really heating up. Shane Orling, Tyler Anke with you as always. Available on YouTube, youtube.com/@PickAsideESPN. Also available wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Tyler, how are you feeling? Big weekend.
The real question is, how are you feeling, my friend, after the
$401 million richer?
I was going to say, what about the death of the American theater?
Oh, I mean, listen, Shay's platform next week will most certainly have something to do with that, depending on what DOJ decides to do. But Netflix has driven a stake right through movie theaters, basically.
It's been real AMC. It's been real Crown Regal, if that's still a thing.
Crown Regal? Of course it's still a thing.
Is it? I don't know.
I love our Regal theaters. RIP Alamo Drafthouse. One of the great theater experiences you could get. No, it sucks. See movies while you can is what I would say.
My roommate Danny, he was spiraling this morning. I had like the quad box going of all the sports talk shows, and then in one I always have CNBC, and they're talking about it, and he walks in and he was just shaking his head like, I can't believe they did this to me.
I have to imagine it's going to get blocked, which is why I didn't go off about it today. But like, it does suck that of all the people that could have purchased Warner Brothers, it was the one company that is going to actively kill the ability to see these movies in theaters. And Warner Brothers is the only company that still makes movies to be seen in theaters. Like, not that we're a movie podcast, but go look at the Paramount slate for the next couple of years. There's nothing interesting, nothing. Warner Brothers, every year there's like 30 scripts that are great. They're going to win Best Picture this year, and it's dead.
This is the big picture.
Martin Scorsese was right when he said the industry is over.
Yeah.
But on the topic of feeling $401 million richer,
there you go,
buddy. I have an athletic program. Watch out.
Yeah.
East Lansing entering the group chat with Columbus and Ann Arbor as the city that the Big Ten will run through for the foreseeable future. That's insane.
Illinois got, what did they get, $500,000 last year too?
Yeah.
So they're in the fold too.
$401 million. Yeah. And the way it breaks down is $290 million directly to the Athletics and $100 million directly to NIL.
Can I ask you a question?
We're going to buy a D-line, brother. We're buying a defensive line.
The guy that ponied up for that donation, Greg Williams, the CEO of Acrisure.
Yep.
Is this a tip of your hand of who you're picking in Pittsburgh and Baltimore this week?
No. No, it isn't. The biggest tip of the hand, and you know what? It's something I gave up on a while ago because I used to say, like, I never want naming rights stadiums in college football. I like that it's, you go to Rice-Eccles or you go to Spartan Stadium or you go to Michigan.
Well, those
stadium.
Are all still naming rights. They're just named after families, not companies.
Yeah, but you get the point. And like, it felt more traditional, but I gave that up a little while ago because I was like, I've seen what it looks like now at a athletics school that won't spend. So just take the blood money, like name the new stadium, Spartan Field at Acrisure Stadium, whatever the hell you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Get the money and let's go.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it.
There you go.
I do want to start with something outside of the games that is NFL related, because right before we logged on to do this, I ran ESPN's playoff machine, which, if you haven't used it, you just pick the results of each game every week and it simulates playoff matchups. So you see what everything will kind of stack out to look like. I was surprised the way that I ran this. I ended up with three NFC North teams in the playoffs. I had the Lions, Bears, and Packers all making it, with the Packers winning the North and setting up a 2-7 Packers-Bears in the wild card round, which would be unbelievable theater. But the more important thing is, because I don't think people have realized quite yet how insane the NFC is.
Yeah.
Where most seasons you go, you win 10 games, you're making the playoffs. I had Seattle at 11-6 out of the playoffs.
It's nuts. Like, you heard Ben Johnson earlier this week say, we've like run the models and stuff like that. We need 11 to get in.
Yeah.
And there's a world where 11 doesn't get you in. Now, yeah. I think... certain teams based off of their conference record. You've like the Bears, where they're at with their conference record right now. What are they in the conference? Like 6-2 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And if you're 6-2 in the conference right now, you feel really good about what you're like, because you're going to win pretty much every tiebreaker. Because at that point, you're talking about cluster tiebreakers, likely not a lot of head to head. And I think one of the nice things too about last night and the Lions beating the Cowboys is that that Cowboys tie is not going to be a part of any tiebreaker.
Yep.
Packers tie still could be.
Yes.
I guess it's not really like a tiebreaker, but they're just not a tiebreaker candidate. That tie, in all likelihood, probably boosts them more than it hurts them.
So the funniest thing, and this is, again, people need to understand something, because I saw Lions fans trolling the Packers. Not everybody can beat the Cowboys. Hey, shut the fuck up. You lost to the Packers on a field twice. Yeah. But it's funny that the Bears and Lions both beat the Cowboys and the Packers tied them, and it probably puts the Packers in the most advantageous spot as far as the division goes. Like, it's actually going to work. Obviously, if they had won the game, then you're really in a good spot. Mm-hmm. But having the tie with a team that both your in-division opponents beat actually helps you to win the division more than those two teams beating that team.
Yeah, it's interesting. At the end of the day, I mean, these teams, the three contending teams, still have so many divisional games left.
Yeah.
So, and that's like, I don't think the tie is going to end up being the reason why one team wins or doesn't win the division. I think it's what we're going to see play out on the field the next 5 weeks with these three teams.
But it is stunning, and I think it's a reality check a little bit, because I know people locally are all hopped up on their own supply and walking around feeling good about themselves because the Bears are the one seed right now. I don't know if those people have realized that depending on how this weekend goes, if you lose to Green Bay, you will be the 7 seed on Monday in all likelihood. Yeah. Like, that's how bunched up the NFC is, that you could go from 1-7 off the result of a single game.
Yep. It's crazy because it is. And it's funny because you've got a 9-win team in the conference who is ahead of an 8-win team in the playoff standings, and a 9-win team who is below an 8-win team.
Yep.
In the conference standings right now for playoff purposes. So 9 wins is not created equal. 9 wins is the 1 seed. It's the 5 seed. It's not the 6 seed. And it's the 7 seed. It's just nuts how the whole like calculus works out.
Yeah, and it's really like it's kind of nuts that the NFC North and the NFC West are the crossover matchups. Yeah. And like, playing that division isn't going to help you. Like, both of those divisions are so loaded with 9-win teams, 8-win teams that...
Well, no, the NFC North has the East this year.
I guess you're right. I'm thinking because the Bears play, the Lions play the Rams, but it's those two, because they don't have the crossover, is how I meant to frame it. Mm-hmm. They're just going to like go to war, and the critical matchups. I think the Rams are going to beat the Lions next week. I don't think that even factors into whether or not the Lions make the playoffs. They'll have to make their hay elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's fascinating that it's still this in question and we're this deep into the season. So I wanted to get that out there. And then also, I think we obviously will go through all of the games, but I think it's important we give the most time and the time off the top of the show to the, inarguably, the game of the week, the game that means the most locally, America's game of the week, 325 Packers-Bears at Lambeau Field, with the Packers as a 6.5-point favorite and the total 44.5. Before we even get into the pick stuff and the gambling side of it, and I do have a play here, I just want to talk ball for a minute.
All right.
Because this is... it's everything you could ask for from a December divisional matchup. 9-3, 8-3-1, two teams vying to win their division, historic rivals. It's going to be 15 degrees at kickoff. We're going to see everybody's breath on the field, on the HD cameras. Like, this is December theater. This is all you want out of the NFL when it gets to be this time of year.
And oh, by the way, that the setting for this theater, the theater itself, is Lambeau Field.
Yeah, right.
The most iconic location in the sport.
It's as good as I can remember a Bears-Packers matchup being in my life. And the fact that we're going to get this twice in 3 weeks, basically for the NFC North title, is incredible. It's just, this is, the NFL has to be beside themselves that they landed this.
It's I mean, the timing and everything, you get the flex and like everything, you get the big game Fox feel to it too. Cause like, yeah, like NBC always has the big game feel, but I always feel like for bitter conference rivals and divisional rivals, like Steelers Ravens, sure, it's great when it's on NBC. It's better on CBS. I feel the same way about Bears Packers. It's great on NBC for Sunday Night Football, but it's at its best when it's on Fox.
Yeah, Fox 325 kick. This is where this game belongs. Yeah. I can't wait to watch it. I'm so excited. I almost didn't want to play it just because I want to kick my feet up and enjoy it. And I honestly, I think it's kind of a small margin, but there is a way that I got directed. So we'll get to it. But I just want to talk like the matchup on the field because I think it's fascinating. It's so many strengths on so many weaknesses where like the Bears O-line, I think, has a distinct advantage in the running game against the Packers D-line, given Devontae Wyatt's out for the year. Like that's the key to what they want to do stopping the run. And it's a top, depending on what you look at, if it's EPA, it's top eight. If it's raw production, it's top six. It's one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. Flip side, the Packers D-line has a distinct advantage when you get into pass protection, in my mind, because if you start getting into known passing downs, and there were a lot of them against the Eagles, the Micah Parsons pinning his ears back and Caleb holding onto the ball is not what you want to see if you're a Bears fan. I think the perimeter, like Keyshawn Nixon, you know how I feel. He's terrible. Packers DB, Bears probably have the better secondary. Like, it's just everywhere you look in this game, it's styles make fights. And then it's the ultimate chess match of Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson.
And they don't like each other. Don't let that get lost in this. I love it when you have the rivalry between the coaches too. That handshake at the end of the game is going to be something to watch, because a lot of things have been said from both sides in this one. And I think the other part of it too is the turnover battle as well. We saw it last week.
The Packers don't turn the ball over, man.
So the last week, heading into last week, the Eagles were the league's best in not giving the ball away. The Bears, we know the story on the defensive side. They take the ball away better than anyone else and by significant margin as well. But on the now that the Bears took the ball away a couple times from the Eagles, it's now the Packers that are the best in the league in not giving the ball away. So it's going to be fascinating on all facets. I think third down, another interesting fight too. The Bears have been very good third down defensively. The Packers are the best in the league third down offensively. So I think you said it best. Styles make fights, and this is going to be, I think, the best game that we're going to see this weekend.
It's like every metric that you choose to look at, it's a perfect counter the other way. And I just, that's where I sit, and I just can't wait to see what the chess match plays out as. I have to ask you too, do you think it plays into it at all that Ben Johnson fired the first shot in this rivalry? Because it was the introductory press conference where he gave credit to Dan Campbell, he gave credit to Kevin O'Connell, and then he just, out of nowhere, he's like, loved beating up on Matt LaFleur, loved kicking his ass. It was like, I love these guys. These are great coaches. Here's a drive-by shooting on the most accomplished coach in the division, arguably. And you're like, oh, okay, great. Then you get I think it was the combine when they sat down with Matt LaFleur, and he's like, yeah, I don't know why he said that. I don't know the man. I don't understand that.
He gets very defensive and like snippy when you bring up Ben Johnson to him.
Yeah, and it's interesting because now you've seen all week, like Micah Parsons did it. Some other players have done it. The Packers are playing this disrespect angle where they feel like personally attacked by the Bears. And I do wonder if that plays into it at all, where like they're gonna have a little extra gear. We saw it when the Bears played the Lions. Clearly the Lions were bothered by Ben Johnson means everything, and they gave their best performance of the year by a mile to just stick it up the Bears ass. I wonder if LaFleur is like, I got something special here. I've been waiting all year to shove this right up your ass because you decided to make comments.
Yeah, he started drawing up these game plans back in January. The second he heard his name, he started drafting this stuff up. I mean, it could be. It could be. I just think that when you get to week 14 of an NFL season, you're pretty defined in who your identity is at that point. And sure, there may be bulletin board material. I don't know if it creates the 52-21 result that we saw against the Lions.
The other really interesting piece, is Jaden Reed going to play?
It looks like, There's a lot of interesting injury notes, I think, across the board for both sides. Like,
is Bears might get Sewell. Play? Yeah, dude. Like, Adunze might be out, but you might get Sewell and TJ Edwards. Mm-hmm. There's so much going into this. It's really fascinating to just talk through it.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, we know Devontae Wyatt's not going to play, but could they also be without Lucas Van Ness too?
Yeah.
He's missed a couple of games, or he's missed a couple of practices now. So you could be without two of your big time defensive linemen in a game where I think defensive line is going to be a pretty telling piece.
But you know you're going to get Micah Parsons. You know you're going to get Rashawn Gary. And I made the argument, like, if there's any team that is prepared to lose their defensive tackle, it's a team that was willing to trade Kenny Clark and kept, I think, seven defensive tackles to start the season for this very reason. Like, they knew they were thin and they had to keep more guys in the middle. And they've been fortunate. Gary and Micah are both fully healthy and playing really well. So I wonder how much it actually hurts them. I'm fascinated by the Jaden Reed piece, because that's like, this Packers offense hasn't felt right. And I know they rank top five in EPA, like all the numbers love them. Yeah. Love is top 10 in basically every meaningful passing metric. But when you watch them, it's clear the Tucker Kraft injury impacted them. It's clear they don't have a go-to receiving weapon. They're trying to make it be Christian Watson, but I don't know if it is. Getting Jaden Reed back, he's been their horse in the past. So if he goes, it's just, this offense gets really dangerous again.
Yeah. And I think, like, Jaden Reed is the best in the group, but let's not prop him up like he's some sort of mega number one type of receiver. Like, he's a solid two. No. Probably. And that's kind of what this Packers team is. I will say, like, I've never been the biggest Christian Watson fan, but seeing what he's been since he's come back from injury, some of the catches that he's made, not just down the field stuff, but some of these like strong hand catches near the sidelines, I've been impressed. And it feels like he's unlocked this offense into getting back into gear and becoming the team that we thought and the offense that we thought this team could be heading into the season with Jordan Love and with that run game. And the run game hasn't been very good. So all of it put together now, it feels like things are trending in the right way for Green Bay. And it's part of what makes this so fascinating, is because offensively, that's what the Bears' strength is too. Like, but I don't even know if I'd call this game a traditional shootout because of A, the conditions, and B, just this type of game that I think we could see play out here.
Yeah, going to be really interesting. And I'm not sitting here selling you that like Jaden Reed is Justin Jefferson or anything. It's not, but it does, it opens up their ability. Yeah, he's the best of the group. And it also opens up their ability to do some things that they haven't been able to do. The outside screen game, a lot of stuff that goes through the flats. They kind of used him as a diet Debo Samuel. You can gadget him a little bit. It gets them into plays that they haven't run in 13 weeks.
Yeah.
And if you're getting unfamiliar looks, that is an added element.
The one thing I would say is, if you look back to last week, like, what did, and maybe this is disrespectful, but I don't mean it that way, but what did Dontavian Wicks do that like Jaden Reed hasn't done in the past? Like, he just went out there and played like Jaden Reed. And that's kind of why, like, all these guys, it feels like, are interchangeable, where whoever you slot into that number one receiver role or like semi adjacent role, they've all kind of stepped up and played like said guy. Like, when Dobbs is out, Wicks or Bo Melton or whoever steps up and kind of plays like that guy and just plays up to that level. So I don't know if you're going to get a huge boost. I just think you're just going to have a different face kind of giving you the same production.
Yep. All right. Let's get to the gambling side of it. Do you have a play here?
I do.
Are you betting the Bears?
I am. I've started to. You know, I went into this week, I didn't feel good about it. And maybe I've just been hopped up a little too much on the Kool-Aid over the course of the week. But the more I looked into it is, when the Bears have been asked to take the ball away, they've delivered in every situation. Yeah. And this is a game where I don't know how many opportunities they're going to have to take the ball away. And I know he hasn't given the ball away a lot. Jordan Love's only thrown 3 interceptions this year. But if this is a close game and you ask Jordan Love to throw the ball, I feel pretty good about the Bears' ability to get a turnover. And to be honest, turnovers are going to be what determines this game.
Yep.
And I look at it too, like, so I look through in Green Bay's 8 wins this season. You know how many times they've turned the ball over in their 8 wins this season?
One.
You hit it on the head. But then in their 3 losses in the tie, they've turned it over 6 total times, including one in each of the 4 games. So yeah. If they're going to turn the ball over, you're going to give the Bears not just a chance to cover a sizable spread within the division, but also you're going to give the Bears a chance to outright win the game. Yeah. And I think that the way that this game is going to be played, I don't think the Bears are going to get a turnover in the early portion of the game unless it's a fumble. I think you're going to see 2 teams that really try to run the ball. I sort of lean to the under, and I think I may end up playing the under by game time. Because I think you're going to see 2 teams that just try to take the air out of the ball. It's cold out. You don't want your quarterbacks getting hit. I think this is a game that you're going to just try to dedicate yourself to the ground. Specifically on the Bears side, you heard what Ben Johnson said about the passing game earlier in the week. You were as dominant as you were in the run game the last couple of weeks. Really, the last since the bye week, you've been as dominant as you have been. You've been one of, if not the best, rushing offense. And now you get to do it against a Green Bay defensive line who I wouldn't say the stopping the run is their strong suit given what the personnel is right now. Without Wyatt, potentially without Van Ness, it's not Micah Parsons' strong suit. You can kind of take Micah Parsons out of the game and just drain the gas in the tank so he doesn't have that extra gear in the fourth quarter to go out and get after the passer if you do find yourself in a situation where you need to throw the ball in the fourth quarter. So I think that's going to be the fascinating part, is the turnover battle. And I think Jordan Love throws one late and the Bears find a way not just to cover, but actually to win the game.
Maybe I'm too gambling brained. We are going to be going head up. I'm going to take the pack. And it's really just as simple. Honestly, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, fuck you, hater. I took the Eagles last week and the Bears won outright. So maybe this is the best thing in the world that could be happening to you. Clearly, I'm going to be rooting for the Bears. I do not like the Packers. But I do like, when I see a team getting 83% of the bets and the numbers just stuck at 6.5, it makes me stop and think, like, what is actually going on here? And you know the way I operate is a little different. Yeah. I'm not handicapping for turnovers. I can't do it. I can't sit here and just say you're going to get 2 takeaways because I'm somebody who doesn't believe it's sustainable. I've always felt like, look, it's a funny shaped ball. It bounces weird. You know, if the ball bounces a little bit differently after Nashawn Wright punches it out of Jalen Hurts' hands, maybe it's an offensive lineman falling on it and you end up losing to the Eagles. It's like the margins are that thin. The Packers haven't turned the ball over all year. I know you're the best at generating takeaways, but I never believe takeaways are sustainable, nor do I think you can handicap for them. So for me, it really is just as simple as I'm getting a team that's getting respect in the market as a Super Bowl favorite, as a divisional favorite, that the market has never really wavered on, and that is laying 6.5 points despite absolutely no one betting them. This is my spot. This is that I would, if this were flipped, it would be the Bears. Like, whatever, you just take the logos out. Whatever team is in the position the Packers are in as a team, I'm typically going to bet. And I'll root against myself, but I'm playing Packers laying 6.5.
All right, head to head it is. Listen, it's going to be a great game, I think. Even if it's like a 7-10 point game, I still feel like it's going to have the juice of like a very close divisional game.
I cannot wait to watch it. All right, let's get to the rest of it. Commanders, Vikings, noon kick. It's first out of the shoot on the sheets. Commanders a 1.5 point favorite on the road now.
Yeah, it's flipped because Jaden Daniels is in.
Jaden Daniels is going to play. JJ McCarthy is not. There's one huge problem for me. Everybody's betting Washington. And isn't this kind of like, dude, Washington is bad. Can we acknowledge that their defense blows?
They're bad, but like they're still like one of those feisty bad teams. Like, I don't think they've quit. And I think the evidence of that is last week.
What does it say to you that Jaden Daniels is starting the game?
I would ask you this, though. Which team do you think has quit more?
I mean, we saw Justin Jefferson really express some doubt.
And we've never seen Justin Jefferson do that. Ever.
Look, I'm not going to play the game. I'm going to be honest.
I'm not either.
Because it would be Minnesota or pass. And if you think I'm putting American dollars on JJ McCarthy at this point, you're out of your fucking mind. But I do wonder, like, if I had to bet it, I do wonder if Kevin O'Connell is like, this is just, we're taking the leash off you. Yeah. And you're going to show us, can you play quarterback or not? We're going to let you take over the offense. Just rip the ball, make the throw. Like he said this week, it's pitch and catch. I got to get him to understand. Don't think too much. Just play ball. And I wonder if this is a spot where you get the JJ that beat the Bears, or you get the JJ that was a psychopath in the locker room after getting a win and created the 9 alter ego.
Yeah.
Like, is this a spot where that happens?
I'll say this. I think these last 5 weeks could define JJ McCarthy's career for the better. Like, these could be, you're right. Like, if Kevin O'Connell's like, dude, let's find out if you can play quarterback, just rip it, see it, rip it. Yeah. Let's go out and play ball.
Like, and our season's over. What do we have to lose? Just go play.
And this could be the greatest classroom possible for JJ McCarthy, a guy who, by the way, has not played a lot of football in his life.
Right.
But like, he's been touted. He was obviously a very successful high school and accomplished high school player, but he has not played a lot of football in his life. At Michigan, he missed a lot of time because of sitting out and then only playing for 3 years. And then he goes to the NFL. He misses his entire rookie season. Like, he's a guy who hasn't seen a lot of snaps comparatively to a lot of his peers. And this could be the greatest classroom possible for him.
Yep. No play for me. If anything, it would probably be a lean to the under and a lean to Minnesota, but nothing that I really got home on. Colts, Jags, couple of 8-4 teams, both contending for the AFC South in Jacksonville. Jags, a 1.5-point home dog. I am going to play Jacksonville here. It's okay. It's the desperate divisional home dog. And they have a quarterback whose leg isn't fucking broken. Like, it really can it be as simple as I take the quarterback who doesn't have a broken leg?
I think it can be that simple. Yeah. I have kind of a, we're thinking the same way here. I'm just coming to a different conclusion. I'm going to take under 47.
Yeah. I don't hate
this game. This off of your broken leg comment too. Indy hasn't cracked 21 points in almost a month.
Yeah.
And you've seen what has happened lately where teams going up against the Colts, they're working not to shut down Daniel Jones in the passing game. They're trying to shut down Jonathan Taylor in the rushing attack.
Yep.
And that's created a lot of problems. You're telling Daniel Jones, hey, go out there and beat us. And he hasn't been able to beat a lot of teams lately. You've got, and I think these are two defenses that aren't given enough credit. Now it's looking like Sauce Gardner is not going to play in this game for Indy. And Jacksonville has their share of injuries as well. But you've got a Jacksonville defense that's fifth in defensive EPA and Indy that's 11th in defensive EPA. And it's a divisional game. There's familiarity. I get that Liam Cohen is parachuting in to this divisional rivalry now, but I still look at it as I don't know how good either offense is, but I've got proof of concept that both of these defenses are pretty solid. Yeah. So, and it's looking like it's going to be a rain game too. So you'll try to keep the ball on the ground and you'll just see that clock run. So under 47 is my play.
I don't hate it. And look, the other thing too, in the month of December, you start playing overs, I think you're out of your mind. The injuries that these teams have sustained, you start playing with fatigue. It's
especially outdoor games too. Like last night, indoors, fast track, two electric offenses. I get it. Like, and that.
But outside of that,
yeah.
Outside of that, it's like you got to lean unders in a lot of these spots.
You got to be pretty situational with it.
Saints, Bucks. Bucks are laying 8.5 at home. I don't have anything here. They've been so banged up that they've struggled offensively lately. Baker hasn't been what he was to start the year for the first 8 or 9 weeks. Totals 41.5. Nothing jumped out to me as something that's really playable.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I will say though, like when we get into December, I am gonna look for like I don't have the Bucks schedule in front of me right now. But I will look for a buy low spot on Tampa at some point because I think they'll be able to pop a team at one point.
I'll tell you, if you want to make a big teaser, I think Tampa's a terrific teaser. Like there is no way that they lose this game and you can get them at laying 2.5 in a teaser. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. Dolphins, Jets, the suddenly white hot Miami Dolphins laying 3 on the road against the New York Football Jets. The total's 41.5. My biggest problem here is the Dolphins don't win in cold weather.
I was just going to say, I would lean Jets, but Lord knows I'm not betting on the Jets at this point.
I feel the same way you do, but haven't we seen a couple credibility spots here lately from Aaron Glenn? He's picked up some nice wins after starting the year unfathomably bad, where you kind of can see this might work. And I just, I'm not going to bet it. I'm with you. I'm not betting the Jets anymore. I made that promise to myself. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be stunned if the Jets beat the Dolphins.
No, not at all. I mean, for the exact reasons that you said, like this Jets team is, they've perked up a little bit. The Dolphins aren't very good when they go to cold weather, especially in December. Now, I will say this, Miami does look like a little bit, like for as much as the Jets have kind of rallied around their season and not become a total dumpster fire as of late, Miami has done the same thing.
Yeah.
Like Miami has rallied and put together some wins. They've done it kind of here, there, and everywhere. So,
Mike McDaniel's coaching to keep his job. They do have an outside shot at the playoffs, depending, like they'd have to win out, but there's an outside chance. It would include wins against New England. Like there's a world where if they win out, they get in. So but they're not dead.
If they can rally back and win 9 games this year, which would not include them winning out, then all of a sudden, I think McDaniel's saved his job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether he 100%. Should have or shouldn't have, but he probably will have saved his job.
Titans, Browns laying 4. The total's 33.5. If you want to bet this game, I got a number for you to call. Like it just, you got to be out of your mind. I'll put it this simply because it's what I said with the Bears. It's what I feel with the Bears. You don't just get to win every game in this league. Like it's not the way it works. It's not the way it's designed. By that same logic, you can't just lose every game that you play in this league. I kind of think it's Titans or nothing, and I have a weird gut feeling that the Titans get win number 2 this weekend, but there's no way I'm betting it.
What about they go low, we go lower? This is the lowest NFL total of the year, 33.5.
It's just so much can go wrong, and Cleveland's got such a good defense that, like, look, if Cam Ward misses a throw and it's a pick 6, all of a sudden you're in danger.
Yeah.
I can't get any act. And also, frankly, I'm not interested in watching the game. Like if there's a game I'm leaving off when I put the Sunday ticket stuff up, that's the one. I don't need to watch.
Pretty easy.
All right. Seahawks, Falcons. Falcons getting 7 points at home, totals 44.5. This is Falcons or nothing, right?
Yeah. I lean Falcons. I hate playing some of these games with like the Kirk Cousins of the world. And it's not like I'm not opposed to playing a backup quarterback and betting on a backup quarterback because that spots actually treat us pretty nicely. I would lean the Falcons this way, but it doesn't look like Drake London's going to play. It's starting to trend that way too. So you're missing some of your star pieces. I know there were some 7.5s floating around. So maybe you can find one of those unless they've all been gobbled up. But I'm just going to stay away in this game because I just feel like Seattle too, they've traveled pretty well this year. So
I am going to wait and see. They've traveled pretty well under Mike McDonald, but that again, it speaks to this thing has happened. I don't know that it can just continue to happen. Mm-hmm. Dude, you cannot win every game on the road in the NFL. You just can't do it. Not when you're a West Coast team, you got to travel across the country as much as you do. I love betting backup quarterbacks. I'm going to bet the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
And I hate the Falcons. You know it. Everybody involved should be launched out of a cannon. Isn't Seattle running a little too hot to feel truly sustainable?
This is the spot. This is the spot to kind of pop things, but
where I'm getting 7 with it's a home team. I'm getting 7 with against a Seattle team that, like, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba really the best receiver in football? Is Sam Darnold really the most efficient quarterback? At some point, I feel like these things have to come back to earth a little bit. And I'm getting 7 points to fade.
I might be able to buy into a little bit, but the Darnold piece I get. Yeah.
I'm going to bet the Falcons. I'm going to take the 7 at home. Ravens Steelers, one of the more intriguing matchups of the week. Ravens laying 5.5 at home. The total's 42.5. Do you have anything here?
I tried to find something and I just couldn't. I mean, you've got 2 bottom 12 defenses, 2 bottom 12 offenses. I don't know what to make of those counter matchups. And then you're giving me a number that's just kind of in the dead zone of 5.5. And frankly, for total purposes, you're kind of giving me a number that's in a dead zone at 42.5. So I can't go either way on this. This just feels like it's kind of pinned perfectly. It's in Baltimore. I don't even have a lean on total or side in this game. I'll watch it, but I'm sitting out the game.
If you made me play it, it would be Baltimore. Pittsburgh's defense blows, especially up the middle. This feels like that spot Oh, wow. Matt Campbell to Penn State. All right, make that official. Anyway, this feels like a spot to me for the Ravens where Lamar hasn't thrown a touchdown in 3 weeks and Derrick Henry is bad, right? His career has come to an end. Mm-hmm. So you just fade him, take the 5.5 with Pittsburgh. I wonder if this is like a get right spot where Derrick Henry runs a little bit and Lamar gets in the end zone and you see the Ravens maybe lean on him and blow him out. It's just, I didn't feel good enough at 5.5 to bet it because you need to win by a touchdown. You're so stuck in the middle. Also leaned under, but 42.5, like you said, it's just a shitty number to play it at. All good?
Yeah. Move along.
Bengals, Bills. Bills laying 5.5 at home. The total and absolutely massive 53.5. Can I offer you something?
All right.
The side would be Bills or pass.
Yeah.
But I'm not all that interested. Again, laying 5.5, it's a weird number. This is going to be a snowball. Have you seen the, like, 29 degrees, 80% precipitation? In all likelihood, we're getting a snowball. Most people think heavy snow, go under. Mm-hmm. Ball knowers know. Defense reacts second, heavy snow, go over. This is so us, dude. The number's enormous at 53.5. They go high, we go higher. I think it's an overplay in Bills Bengals.
I'll correlate with you here. I do like Buffalo in this game, especially when you bring up the stuff with the snow. You've got the number two rush offense going up against the second worst rush defense. I think James Cook, Josh Allen, they're built for these type of games. You can move that Cincy defense with ease. Yep. I don't know how Buffalo doesn't win this game by fewer than two touchdowns.
The other thing, you know what? I'm going to add Buffalo too, because I really do feel good about it. And it's, look, Cincy's a hugely public team. They've been this darling. It's the sexy. Yeah. They'll win out and win the division. Joe Burrow's back. Mm-hmm. I know the last time there was a snow game in Buffalo between these two teams, Cincy knocked them out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I
was
just.
Was that the game we got the sick Burrow throw? The spin around the social media throw?
I feel the way you do about it. I don't know. I don't know how the Bengals keep this competitive without just scoring every time they touch the ball. And that feels a little unrealistic with their offensive line. So I'll join you. I'll take Buffalo too. I'm going to double dip Buffalo and the over. Denver, Vegas, Denver, a 7.5-point road favorite. You couldn't pay me to bet the Raiders. And I'm not laying 7.5 with Bo Nix. Not after what I saw against Washington. It's a short week game. Totals 40.5. Just nothing for me here.
Yeah, if I had to pick it, I would go Vegas with the 7.5. Denver this year is 2-6 as a favorite against the spread. Really? 2-6. Like, it is not good when you're giving them points. It's part of why I think a lot of people feel like they are the flimsy team out of the AFC. Like, at least on the Patriots side, sure, the schedule hasn't been anything to write home about, but they're winning and covering in a lot of these games.
Denver
is not
teams.
Doing that.
Yeah, the Patriots are murdering people, and Denver's like scraping by Washington. It's it's a very different vibe. All right, Rams, Cardinals. Rams laying 8.5 on the road. The total's 47.5. If you made me play it, it's, again, I got five plays already, and I think there's better shit. It would be Rams because I think they're very good, and it feels like an absolute bounce back spot. You get back indoors, you're back on the west side. Arizona doesn't have fans. It would be the Rams or nothing. 8.5 points too many for me on the road in a divisional game.
Only thing I would look at here is maybe an under, but I would hate to get killed in like a 31-17 game.
Right, me too. Houston, Kansas City, Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs, 3.5-point home favorites. Nobody betting them. Public all over Houston here. Not to the extent that they are the Bears. It's not an 80% number, but it is like 65. The total 41.5. I like two plays here. This is one of my favorite games to bet of the entire week. You know I hate to bet a public dog, but the public cannot lose every single bet. And I feel like Kansas City down Simmons, their left tackle, going against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. This defense
down proven, Trey Smith too.
Yeah, dude, this defense proven it travels. It's the best defense in football. I don't just think Houston covers. I think Houston wins the game, but I'm going to take the 3.5 points because I want to cover myself in case there's some Harrison Butker bullshit and KC wins by a field goal, but also just Mahomes era, and especially last 2 years, they do not cover when you get north of a field goal, the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I actually like the other play here, under 41.5.
Yeah.
I think this is just a gross dogfight.
Yeah, it could be a good little Texans under teaser as well. Like, that could be a nice little build.
Maybe that's the way I play it. Maybe I just get my lick back on Browns Niners and I just go big on Texans under teaser.
I'm with you. I love Houston in this game. I think it plays out very similarly to that Kansas City Denver game where you've got an offense who's unstable, shaky. You don't really know what to expect, but you've got a defense that you know what they're going to bring to the table. Yep. And with this Kansas City offensive line and the injuries that they're dealing with, you brought up Josh Simmons, and then Trey Smith's going to be out in this game in all likelihood, and then you might be without Juwan Taylor, which may be addition by subtraction, but that's when you're missing three starting offensive linemen in December, that's a recipe for disaster, and it's part of why I really like Houston. We've seen the trouble that they've given teams like Buffalo, too, who have been a lot more whole. I love Houston in this game. I think C.J. Stroud's starting to play a little bit better.
Yep.
He's only had the one game since coming back from the injury, but I just think this offense and the way that the receiving room has come together with guys like Higgins and Collins and Dalton Schultz lumped in there, and what your running game's been able to give you too, I just think Houston's like the tougher team right now. So I'm with you. I'm taking Houston right now with the 3.5.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to go big, get my lick back. Houston under teaser. So I'll get Houston at 9.5 and the total at 47.5. Yeah. Feel pretty
this
good.
This is a race of 20, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just Kansas City. It's been a slog all year. Their defense is good. Offensively, they're great on critical downs, but they don't get to 20 points that often. Mm-hmm. And Houston's no different. I will say, though, isn't there a little credibility building with Houston's run game? Woody Marks?
I think so, yeah.
Nick Chubb?
Woody Marks dealt with the injuries, but
they've weathered the storm a little bit, though. Losing Joe Mixon, you thought early, that's going to kill them. They've bounced back a little bit nicer than I think expected. And honestly, I didn't understand what they were doing when they got rid of Cam Robinson, the left tackle. I'm like, what? Your offensive line's terrible. You can't protect your quarterback, and you're moving on from your left tackle. They've improved since getting rid of him. So I think they're really good. You know, I think both of us were really bullish on this team.
Yeah. I mean, we've got the future on them to win the AFC, and they're not even occupying a playoff spot right now.
Well, that's why you get it while it's hot.
Yep.
All right, final game of the slate, Monday night, Eagles-Chargers. Eagles, 2.5-point favorites on the road. The total's 41.5. A lot of injury stuff at play here. Yep. Justin Herbert got surgery on his hand. It sounds like he's going to play, but there's no certainty around that. Jalen Carter now has shoulder surgery. He's not going to play.
Plural.
Shoulders. Surgery. Total's 41.5. I would probably lean under, and I would probably lean Chargers. But with the injury uncertainty, I can't get there until I know for sure if Justin Herbert's going to play.
I lean Philly in the game. I don't feel strongly either way. I doubt I end up playing it in general. But when you look at... I kind of look back at the whole Rodgers thing, how it just the injury to even a non-throwing hand impacts the run game. It puts you in tricky spots. It puts you in a lot of shotgun. You can't club a non-throwing hand in the NFL. You can't. You can only really do that on defense or with the offensive line. You can't club a quarterback. So it's I just think even if Herbert plays, is that a good idea for the Chargers? I don't know if it is.
Fair.
So I would lean Philly in this game, even without Jalen Carter. Jordan Davis, we know, can be a disruptor too. Yep. And I wouldn't want a compromised quarterback without both of his tackles playing against this Philly defense, albeit one that I know hasn't looked great lately, but they still have the DNA and they still have the pieces. So I'd lean Philly, but I'm not going to play it as of now.
All right. That'll do it. A full slate, including Packers Bears. I can't wait to watch it. Recapping the card very quickly on the NFL side. Got to scroll through my college plays the way this is set up. Over 53.5 and Buffalo laying 5.5 and Bengals Bills. Atlanta +7 at home. Jags +1.5 at home against the Colts. Big two-way teaser. Houston +9.5 and under 47.5 on Sunday Night Football. And then Packers laying 6.5 for me and Packers Bears.
All right, I'm going under 47 in Colts and Jaguars. I've got Buffalo as a 5.5-point favorite. I'm going to go with the Bears. We're going to go head up here. Bears plus 6.5, and then Houston plus 3.5 against Kansas City.
There you go. It's another edition of the Pick Aside podcast. We will be back next week with a recap episode, college conference titles. If you missed that episode, it's available now wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube, youtube.com/@PickAsideESPN. Good luck to everybody.
We will be out at Beck's in Lincoln Park on Saturday from 9 to 11, getting everyone ready for the Big 12 championship. And then you and I for that big Bears-Packers game, 8 to 11 a.m. on Sunday. So 8 to 11 a.m. on ESPN Chicago. So dial in. We've got plenty of football for you this weekend.
Very exciting. All right. That'll do it for us. It's another edition of the Pick Aside podcast.